Welcome to episode 2 of the E-Word Podcast. This is the podcast coming to you from the emo subreddit on reddit.com. This is your boy Hot Dog. I'm recording here in Wisconsin, and I'm joined by two guests on this podcast. We've got Ellie. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful.
And we have another guest. You may know them from the band Darkle.
Hi. You might. Probably not. It's okay.
Might know them from Morning Effort, actually. I'm so sorry, Matt. I'm so sorry.
I kind of expected it. Yeah.
All right. Well, before we go into this episode, I would just like to say thank you to everyone for smashing the fuck out of the play button on episode 1. Definitely like tripled any expectations I had for people playing it. And thank you for saying that you like the podcast and everything. Thank you for emailing and DMing. It's all happened, and I'm like 100% like surprised that anyone fucking cares about this. So if you're with us for episode 2, thank you.
You're welcome.
And you can follow us on stuff. We're on Twitter and Instagram at the E-Word Pod, and our email is the E-Word Podcast at gmail.com. If you have a topic or a question or an idea for the show, any of those inboxes are good to get in touch. Please get the fuck in touch if you want to. Don't be shy. I want to have people on here. I want to know your feedback. I want your voice to be heard and all that stuff. And one other thing that I want, I'm just throwing this out there. I want a fucking theme song for this show. So if anyone, what's that?
You got it.
Yeah.
I got it.
Is it a duet with Ellie?
We could do that. We could figure it out.
Yeah. Next week.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so if you just have a song that you think would fit, just throw it in the inbox and we'll like, I'm assuming that no one's going to do it, but just do it anyway. Or if you feel like coming up with something original that says like you're listening to the E-Word or something like that, that'd be fucking wild. So I don't know, someone might come through, but either way,
that's me.
Yeah,
I feel like people are just going to submit the John Cena theme.
Da, 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 da. r/emo podcast.
I mean, yeah, it fucking fits.
Yeah,
the syllables line up.
Flow is solid.
It's untouchable. That's some fucking young thug flow.
Unstoppable.
Episode 1 follow-up. Does anyone, or I guess Ellie, do you have anything that you want to follow up on from first episode?
I was really pleased with how positive the response to the Jesse Lacey conversation was.
Oh, yeah.
That was a good conversation, I gotta say.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I was very pleased to see a lot of people saying, you know, I really appreciate the fact that you guys spoke up about this, that you know, a lot of people thought that we like echoed everyone's thoughts and sentiments about the situation really well. So I am glad with how that turned out. I thought in general, episode 1 was a vast improvement over episode 0 as well.
I didn't even listen to episode 0.
It's not up there yet. I'm going to toss it up there probably at the top of this week.
That's unfair.
A lot of people have like requested we talk about exactly what episode 0 is, which is just debating about bands being emo or not. So,
oh,
yeah,
great. Has anybody like DM'd or like emailed you specific bands that we can discuss?
Sorority Noise is the big one.
There are two emails that mention Weezer.
Oh God.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I mean, personally, I think...
Do you want to start with Weezer?
They're not an emo band.
The crazy thing is we discussed them in episode 0. Yeah. Like, there was quite a lengthy discussion about them, actually, if I recall correctly.
I think it was the shortest one, to be honest. I think it was just like, no, they're not an emo band. Pinkerton is like a little bit dark. That doesn't make it emo. And then I'm pretty sure that was it.
I don't know. Was Pinkerton emotional though?
I mean, yeah, that's really the only requirement. My personal favorite emo band of all time is Pink Floyd.
True. Every time I see a wall, like any wall now, I get reminded of that band and burst out into tears. Favorite emo band of all time. No, but I will argue that up until Pinkerton, they're emo, because then they broke up. That's a really emo thing to do. And they came back, you know, to get that reunion cash money.
Yeah, that is very emo now that I think about it.
And also Songs from the Black Hole. You know, that's a solid album.
Songs from the Black Hole is sick.
Yeah.
That is sick, yeah.
Listen to Long Time Sunshine and tell me that they're not, or at least they were, never an emo band, honestly. And I will still not believe you. That's my opinion.
You won't believe me even if I say they were?
I'm a bit of a moron, an oxymoron. So I contradict myself a lot. Well, I don't mean to, but...
I'm so glad Matt's on this podcast.
Glad to be here. Thanks for having me, y'all.
I have some follow-up here. KM Music, Kelby, did get in touch and said that he didn't make any money on KM Music. I guess the more follow-up to that is that he has a new channel, and it is under Kelbs. So you can check that out. And then I guess this is a little bit of follow-up, but we talked about You Blew It breaking up. And then yesterday, Thursday, Ian Cohen put out an interview with Tanner from You Blew It talking about them breaking up under the term emo. And then Tanner fucking got in the comments on Reddit and just fielded questions. And that was really dope.
Yeah, that was really cool. I didn't catch that, but that is really cool.
Yeah,
I never was like that big of a fan of them, aside from, you know, early stuff, I guess. But if there is a YouTube channel that I could plug that's kind of like, I don't want to like overshadow the KM's new channel, which was what again?
Kelbs.
Okay, well, there's a really awesome YouTube channel. Got a lot of James on it. It's Jomez. It's Jomez. It's got a lot of really just good, you know, recordings of just underground bands. Underground emo bands. Would you believe that?
Hmm.
Wow.
Cool. Yeah, they've got like, you know, classics like Mallard and all that stuff, but they also have like Pennies, which I've been listening to a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Sorry.
Do you know if they hang out around the sub at all?
No. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I've definitely seen that that channel name before hanging out, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, shout out. Shout out Jomez. Jomez.
Jomez.
Jomez. Either or.
All right. Well, let's get into that segment. What have you been listening to this week? Whoever wants to go first.
All right. I've been, I listened to Home Like No Place Is There, like for the 9 billionth time earlier today. And I, like, every time I listen to that record, I'm reminded that it probably is the best record of the emo revival. Like, that whole, the whole Tumblr aesthetic era of the emo revival, I mean, like,
yeah,
it really just it's a perfectly constructed album from front to back, just absolutely amazing, from first to last, from autumn to ashes. this is true. I actually like confused from autumn to ashes with from first to last for a good 7 years. Like, I couldn't tell you like whether a song was by one band or the other, even though like I know they're clearly different bands. They're just completely intertwined in my mind.
Yes, we're like taking on 7 years, like that holy ghost to Left Alone. Sorry, that's the end of the Seosin reference.
I actually have been listening to Seosin a lot lately too, translating the name EP. Yeah, you know, there's just there's always a lot of good music coming out from Scram's folks. So there was an EP that got dropped really recently. I think it was, this might not have been that recent, but Binary, that band Binary with Jordan Steif. It was really fucking good. I don't think actually their EP was that recent now that I think about it. But yeah, that was pretty sick. Also been listening to a lot to the Vane and Gift from God split from earlier this year. The Vane side is absolutely just fucking crushing and untouchable. I'm super excited for their LP next year. Yeah, that's about it, I think. Oh, and I've been listening to Atmosphere, specifically Seven's Travels. That's my favorite record of theirs.
Is that the one that just celebrated like a 20th anniversary or something like that?
No, you're thinking of Overcast.
Yes, correct.
Overcast. Yeah, Seven's Travels had a 10th anniversary back in 2013. So
got it.
And obviously, Seven's Travels is the one with Trying to Find a Balance, which I think is probably like the biggest hit Atmosphere had. Like, I remember that getting played on the radio a lot, and it's a really good song.
That's in Tony Hawk, right?
I believe so, actually. Yeah.
Was it, Tony Hawk 64, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I believe so.
Well, you know, I'm not surprised. That game was awesome. Had all the good emo bands on it.
All like the Goldfinger.
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I've been listening to a lot of Duster because it's that time of year. Time to get sad. So listen to some slow core, sad core. Specifically, I've been listening to Stratosphere, which is just like very good. I'm a big fan. And I guess in that same vein, I've been listening to Codeine. You know, not lean, but I've been listening to this guy. I don't know how to pronounce his name, but he had a song that featured Horsehead and Wiccaphase called Famous Adonis. I guess that's how you pronounce it. Listening to a lot of Wiccaphase, Spring Eternal, and just GBC in general.
Yeah, I believe we're going to be talking about Little Peep later on.
Yeah, yeah. I want to hold off on that.
Indeed.
Been listening to Boy Rex a lot because I'm going to be playing with Boy Rex on Monday, and I'm a very big Jack Synth fan, and I've never met him. I'm very nervous too, but I also think like at the same time like that's stupid in my head. It's like it's going to be fine, you know. He's just he's probably just a normal guy, but you know. I don't, you know, it's just a weird thing of kind of what y'all were talking about in like the last episode, like the shitty idolization of musicians because of like, you know, how William Bonney, like Sailor Heart, North Folk, shit like that just like got me through high school. Just helped me out in a lot of ways. I've been listening to a lot of North Folk still, and I still have my North Folk shirt. I have a little bit of cred. I think that's cool.
My favorite Jack Senf project, or not my favorite, but I think the most criminally underrated is probably We Are the Colossus, which was like one of his very, very, very first outfits. It was like real good Twinkle Scrams, like right from the heart of like, I guess I would call it like the very beginning of the emo revival. You know, when like Street Smart Cyclist and them were around, and like the Reptilian and stuff like that, all that early stuff that drew just as much from Screamo as it did from like Captain Jazz, and We Are the Colossus are really fucking good. If you can track down any of their songs, because I believe they took their demo off of YouTube. They had it removed, but I recently got a hold of it through some shady file sharing site. Sorry, Jack. And the track, but aside from that, how was the play, Miss Lincoln? That song's really good.
I just want to say that Street Smart is like way better than Mom Jeans. Just let that be known. I want someone to quote me on that.
Can I ask why you're comparing those two specifically?
Hold on 1 second. I must prepare. Okay, so like what? They're both items. Oh, wait, no. They're both nouns, okay? one is a person. And they're smart. Maybe not book smart, but they're street smart. And Mom Jeans? It's just an article of clothing. It's not necessarily just for moms. I guess they're referring to high-waisted pants. Jeans. I'm sorry. Yeah, jeans. Duh. But here's a question. Am I wrong? Can't a street smart cyclist wear mom jeans? I think so. That's why I think that they're better.
All right. I'm going to have to give the win to Matt on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Mom Jeans has taken an L.
Yeah.
I don't want to get a lot of DMs being like, how dare you talk shit about Mom Jeans?
How could you? I talk shit about Mom Jeans like hourly.
That one song where they have that Bob Berger sound clip is so good. So good. No, I'm sorry for yelling.
Austin from Mom Jeans and I got into beef a while back. I don't know if anyone remembers
over,
that.
Over the sparkle punk term, right?
Yes. Yes, that's what happened.
That is so dumb.
Yeah. Is Austin the vocalist?
Austin is the drummer.
Okay.
He was very offended by the fact that I slotted Mom Jeans into the sparkle punk category because it is a very stupid name. It's a very stupid genre name, and that's exactly why I like to call bands sparkle punk. And he on the sparkle punk subreddit, he started submitting a whole bunch of he was submitting Queen songs and stuff like that. Yeah, just completely wrong stuff. Yeah, we were getting griefed real hard by Austin.
Hey, what's up? I'm Austin. I play drums in a sparkle punk band, and I troll on Reddit.
You know what? I don't want to talk shit about Austin, because... Sorry. Yeah, no, it's okay. I'm just giving him a hard time right here, but he, reached out and apologized for being immature, and he was actually a really, really stand-up guy about it, so... Yeah. That beef has been squashed, and I stuck up for Mom Jeans recently in a thread that was hey, why do we excuse Mom Jeans' shitty behavior? A whole bunch of people.
I saw that. That's right.
Yeah, I remember that thread. There were some people who were saying Mom Jeans were kind of assholes to me at shows, but the vast majority of people who have had interactions with Mom Jeans, I've found to have had generally pleasant interactions with the members, including myself after Austin apologized. So. You know, they have my backing as solid people.
I've never met them. I never met. Some of my friends' bands have played with them. You know, because they're really big and stuff. a lot bigger than my band. I'm just kidding. in a sense, I'm not kidding. But yeah, I have not really heard anything about them being bad.
I haven't heard shit.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, really just seemed like one kid got burned and decided to whine about it.
On Reddit? Really?
Whoever heard of whining on Reddit
in
a subreddit for emo music?
Oh, God. All right, I'm back. Hello?
I thought you cut off, but I wasn't sure.
Yeah, I did. Okay. Here's the thing. One thing to take into consideration, I'm sure I didn't read the thread. Maybe when they were being assholes, I've toured a lot. I'm a musician. I don't know if you knew that about me. I play in that band called Darkle. It's the opposite of Sparkle. We actually invented a new genre. It's called Darkle Punk.
Ooh.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah, no problem. And, a lot of times, with my experience, my personal experience with depression, just because, you're on the road and you're, quote-unquote living the dream, the stuff that you normally go through is not going to go away. So you are prone to have bad days. I remember my friend from California who came out to a show I played in LA. She was in Fistbenders. I believe her new project is Selfie Queen.
Oh shit. Yeah. No, it's really good. I've listened to them.
Yeah. So, yeah. I set up a show for Selfie Queen and during her set, she was talking about the first thing that I said to them. And that night I was really sick. On that tour, as soon as we got into California, I just got really sick. And I had just lost my wallet and I had 3 weeks left on the road. So I was not having a good time. I remember the first thing that we did, we went to a dog beach in Santa Barbara or something. And, you know, for the first 20 minutes, it was awesome. I'm man, there's the ocean, there's the sand, there's dogs around. This is great. This is such a good time. And then like 20 minutes later, like, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm still sick as fuck. So, you know, I decide to like read a book on the beach, and then right in front of me as I'm reading, a dog just starts like shitting, like right in front of me. So I just kind of like put the book up to like block it. I want to apologize. I'm like, eh, you didn't shit in front of me, so it's fine. But it's like to type that back in, I guess I saw, because I was on a Mucinex. I had some Mucinex, and so you know, I guess I was a little out of it. But I saw that she had a straight edge patch, and I guess I asked, "Oh, so you're straight edge?" And she said, "Yeah." And I'm like, "That's cool." And I supposedly walked away. I don't remember any of this. But yeah, I guess that's one instance as to where someone's brought up to me where I acted like an asshole, you know, when I was having an off day. I don't know. That's just a, you know, you should probably cut that. It was way too long. But yeah. Touring's hard when you have depression. So, and yeah, support your touring emo bands. Be understanding when they're a little mean.
Aw.
Sorry.
Yeah, that's not getting cut. No, nothing gets cut.
Nothing gets cut.
Nothing gets cut. I've never heard you. I feel like we should move along for the sake of finishing the podcast.
Well, yeah, now. Yeah. All right. Well, I have a smaller list of what I've been listening to. I checked out the band Cheem. It's more of a math and indie type of band. I discovered them on the Kelbs YouTube channel. I've seen their name kind of thrown around a little bit, but decided to finally hit play when I found that. I really like it. They have an album called Downhill that came out this year. Also been spending a lot of time with Knapsack and the Jealous Sound in the past week. Big shout out to Blair. I'm a big fan of his bands. And then I've been listening to some Make Believe, because if you live in the Midwest, you know, Tim Kinsella's Howl just brings you to life. And I listened to Grandview. Someone posted that in the sub not too long ago. I'd never heard of him before, or I thought I'd never heard him before, but I have heard of him before. And I really dug it. I listened to Everything Between Paint and a Wall. That's a great album.
I'll have to check that out.
It's something that, like, when it was posted, like, people were like, oh yeah, I fucking love this. And I was just like, this sounds so familiar. And it came out in like 2014 or I think. It's tight.
The thing about Make Believe, you know, and like, you know, being a Midwesterner, it's kind of like, I don't know, you know, like, you know, you're out in the Midwest and, you know, you're just dreaming about Beverly Hills and like, that's where you want to be.
Fuck.
When we were talking about Weezer earlier, I really, really wanted to make a joke about how Beverly Hills is my favorite Midwest emo song.
Well, there you go.
Thanks, Matt. Fuck. Stop. Get out of my goddamn head. I hate you.
I hate me too.
Aw. Technically, that means you hate me too. So.
Well, that's not true.
Aw.
All right. Well, at this point, I'd like to throw it to the song break. And Matt, we're going to play a song from Darkle. So you can pick that song and you can intro that song. If you'd like.
Oh, shucks.
Or am I putting you on the spot too much?
Here. It is going to be it's a space show song, which you're going to play in a bit. But the reason why I don't want to play a Darkle song is because we're in the process of recording our new album. And, well, EP, really. And, you know, I PM'd you about that, but, you know, it just wouldn't work in time. And so I'd rather just like, you know, showcase something new as opposed to just like something that's over a year old. You know, regardless of how stellar and rad it may be, you know, I'm just kidding in that. But yeah, so I just kind of want it, you know, because I know that guys in Dark would be pissed, are going to be pissed, but I don't care. They're not on this podcast. So this is, I used to write folk punk songs as Amy Bruce Space Show. You know, amybrucebayshow.bandcamp.com. But I've recently, you know, kind of shifted gears in the direction of my solo project, very much in the vein of, you know, quote unquote emo trap. You know, so I'm trying to go electronic. And so the song is called The Abyss. I think there's a dollar sign for one of the S's. Yeah, it's nice, short, and sweet. You don't have to deal with me whining for too long. I hope you all like it.
Sleep paralysis and drunk confusion to be. I'm as salty as the sea, and I'm my own worst enemy. So masters of disasters, please grant me my wish. I'm just tripping from the bends, but goddamn it, I need this. Take me.
God,
you're such an amazing artist, Matt. I really admire you and look up to you.
Wow. You know, you should. I think the idolization of musicians is essential in today's culture. Where would we be right now if I didn't obsess over Mike Kinsella?
That's what DIY is all about. It's all about putting musicians on a pedestal and not treating them like regular people.
Exactly. And it totally doesn't make the person uncomfortable when you do that.
Well, this is the segment in which we're going to do the news, and we're doing it upvote, downvote style. First topic here is the compilation album that's being put together basically right now on our sub. This is being kind of spearheaded by the user Skewjaster. I don't know if that's the right pronunciation. Skewjaster. And they're putting
this
together.
I'm sure they'll let you know.
Yeah, so this is going to benefit Rain. It's kind of in response to abuse that's been going around in our scene. this has been going on for like a couple weeks. The deadline for song submissions has basically closed today, and it's at 33 songs. And it's going to be out physically via
Old Press.
Is it Old Press? Okay, Old Press is going to be doing tapes and CDs. But yeah, there's a sticky thread on this if you want to check it out. But this is definitely something really cool. I kind of think almost like the idea of starting this podcast, it's kind of similar in the way that like our community can do something like outside of the website, like we're putting out a physical thing to benefit something, and that's just really cool, and it's kind of makes it less just contained to this website that people know it as.
Yeah, you have to like commend the like generative effort that just even that concept puts forth, especially in light of everything that's been going on, you know, at least like just been come to light, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Upvote.
Yeah. Biggest yeah. Upvote.
I'm upvoting even though I missed the deadline.
I think, and I have it right in front of me, it says it's a loose deadline, so you could probably still throw something in there.
Still sneak in. Yeah, I think it's amazing that the Ariuma community came together around this. And I think in general, like, I'm sure we'll be talking about Pine Grove and Nervous Dater stuff later, but like in general, the response to all the abuse allegations in our sub has been really positive and really progressive and thoughtful. And I really felt proud of the sub, and especially in light of like the Jesse Lacey allegations. I thought a lot of the discussion and commentary was very on point and considerate and respectful. And I think that the fact that people in our community cared enough to do this and all the proceeds are going to Rain, I think is, you know, absolutely tremendous. Like, it's not something that I think could have happened on the sub like even 2 years ago. So I think it's also a testament to the fact that our community has grown a lot and has become very tight knit as well. So yeah, huge upvote because it asked a discussion.
Still going.
Yeah.
I feel like my response is a little underwhelming compared to yours, Ellie, but yeah, I totally agree with you 100%.
I don't know if this is the official title as of now, but the pitch title for the comp is We Believe You, a benefit compilation for victims of sexual violence.
That's a great title. Yeah. Holy shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that was submitted by user GMP14.
Shout out.
Yeah.
Mad shout out.
They're great. I always love seeing their comments on the sub.
Yeah.
I pay real close attention to usernames, like as a mod, and you know, there's always like I definitely pay attention to users who contribute like solid, great discussion, and GMP14 always has great things to say. Mm-hmm. So shout out.
Agreed. All right. So we have new music from Tiny Moving Parts. They dropped a song called Caution, and they recently announced
I heard Matt groan immediately.
I didn't catch that.
I love Tiny Moving Parts.
Okay, well, they will be going on tour. They will be headlining and supported by Mom Jeans and Oso. Oso, what did you two think of Caution?
Ellie, do you want to go first?
No, I don't.
Okay. I know that we both are just... okay. Whenever I listen to like a new song by a band that's been around as long as Tiny Moving Parts, I like, you know, I try to like listen for like a progression, you know. I didn't really hear much of that at all, and like, you know, maybe I just haven't listened to their music, but enough of it, I guess. But I think the only thing that they really did new was have a female vocalist accompanying Dylan. You know, they still had the cool, you know, D-A, you know, E-A, C-sharp, E, you know, shreds and the cool taps, you know. But it's like, I've heard that before. You know, I've come to expect that from them. But I guess what I love about bands is that, like, you know, when they actually expand upon their sound. And that's kind of like why I'm a little disappointed in it. And also with the, you know, lyrics. Lyrics are decent for the most part. You know, as a lyricist, it's something that I pay attention to. Man, that's really pretentious of me. But I just don't like the line where he's talking about you're my caffeine or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I was going to bring that up.
You are caffeine in my bloodstream. You are the energy hidden between two muscles sleeping. Please don't wake me up. I miss myself too much. Miss myself too much. Please don't wake me up. Don't wake me up. Can't wake up. Yeah, so I guess I'm not that into it. I kind of was. I'm an asshole. I was really only into
this couch.
You know, yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
this couch with the hole in the wall in the background.
Ha! Yeah. Dang, I wish that was the title.
That's what it's going to be known as from now on.
Yeah, I'm pretty much of the same opinion as you. I still think they have probably, you know, the best. Like, or some of the best Twinkle guitar work. Yeah, it's real sharp, it's real crisp, it's real refined. But like you said, it's definitely more of the same. And at this point, they're basically just like a twinkly pop punk band. Like, they've strayed so far from the more screamo oriented roots. And not that there's anything wrong with that, but I figured that they would continue to, as you said, progress their sound rather than stick with what made Celebrate such a compelling record. You know, you gotta throw in some new tricks to keep this old dog interested. And I, you brought up the tour that they're going on, and I feel like it's definitely necessary to point out the complete shit show that happened in the subreddit over that. Matt, I don't know if you were paying attention to that, but
I've been busy with finals, and I go on other websites besides Reddit to procrastinate.
Oh, fair. basically what happened was I wouldn't name the band, except that it's actually kind of relevant to name the band, but Rachel Nervous Dater commented something along the lines of her sentiment was basically that, you know, she wished that bands who had a prominent position in the scene would use that power to kind of spotlight, you know, bands with marginalized members and the marginalized people in their membership, people of color, trans folk, etc. And instead of just being another straight white dude fest. And people really fucking jumped down her throat about it. And one user in particular, SparklePunk08, who I have no problem calling out because they're a fucking shit stain on the face of the earth. They're a misogynist cuck.
Are they banned, by the way?
Oh, I banned them. Okay. I think Kage and I banned them at the same time. Lauren and I, we like kind of had a little race there to ban them. But yeah, I banned them, told them off. Yeah, I apologized to Rachel over Twitter and through Reddit, and you know she responded. She was very, very kind and level-headed. But the biggest thing that stood out to me was that she doesn't want to participate on the sub anymore, and I think that's really a shame, because you know we need more people who are willing to call this shit out, and who you know, I don't like putting the responsibility of requesting emotional labor on people, but I you know, having people there who are willing to call this about on hypocrisy and bullshit is a really valuable thing, and I think it's important for, you know, the sub to kind of like take a look at itself and ask itself why this shit keeps happening. You know, I think in general we have a pretty good community, but we always have more work to do, especially when this is such a consistent issue. You know what I mean? Definitely. Yeah. So, yeah, I just wanted to extend another public apology to Rachel and Nervous Dater as a whole, and a heartfelt plea to denizens of the subreddit to please continue to make this the subreddit that I know it can be. So, yeah. Thank you.
Yeah,
no, I saw that. I saw the screen cap of SparklePunk08, and I was just like, "Fuck, I don't know." That it just seemed like a throwaway account. I didn't really look into it. I just saw the screen cap. Yeah, I was just like, "What the? I don't know." I just, you know, those moments where you just like kind of have a mini migraine, just shove your like your head to your hands, vice versa. I don't know, and or just like a little, you know, just fucking mortified. Just a tad.
I gotta say, it was a real personal blow if they had SparklePunk in their username.
I was gonna say, truly, that's some shade.
Yeah, that really hurt my fucking feelings, if I'm being honest. Oh, speaking of hurt feelings, I just wanted to real quick bring something up. Somebody fucking commented on the post. They were like, "Hey, you Sarcastosaurus sounds exactly like I thought they would," and I was like, "What the fuck does that mean?" He was like, you know, you just kind of sound exactly like the way I picture your comments. And I was like, you know, nasally, high-pitched, slight Midwest accent, a little bit of a lisp, not as feminine as I'd like it to sound. And he was like, yep, nailed it. So thanks, random person on Reddit, you really crushed my self-esteem.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, basically my thoughts on this is similar to what you both kind of mentioned. There's no change in their sound or no signs of anything new, so that,
oh shit, yeah, we're still talking about Tiny
Moving Parts. They've
been around for so long, like, okay, like Tiny Moving Parts, they've been around for literally 9 fucking years, so like,
really,
of course.
Yeah, yes,
2008. Fuck. So like, I guess maybe they're just, I mean, what are they on right now? Like Triple Crown or something? Like, yeah. Now they're just doing that fucking thing that a lot of bands do, And it's just like, okay, let's just pump out the same shit that people like because we know they're going to like it and we're playing it safe. And I can't commend that. I mean, I respect them as musicians because, I mean, they're great. But in that sense, I don't respect them as musicians.
Well, right. So I can see why they're doing it. I mean, like, they are the biggest they've ever been. And I mean, like, if they started doing some fucking progressive shit, I mean, who knows if people would follow along with them.
For sure.
That's like, I don't know. That's not what I want out of my favorite bands. Like, I want them to reinvent themselves and grow and shit. But yeah, I don't know. It just equals to me not being excited for anything new, like a new album.
Yeah. I'm not excited for a lot of new things. And I think that's what makes me so emo. And I think we can bond over that, hot dog.
Yeah, for sure. So another new album that's in the works, Lattice Butte have confirmed via Instagram that they are currently working on their fourth LP. They're in the studio with Will Yip, and it's been since 2014 with Rooms of the House since we've heard from them. Personally, my thoughts, I'm cautiously optimistic about this. I mean, I don't have all my chips in on Lattice Butte. I think Rooms of the House was like good. But I'm really curious to see where they go. And I guess my question would be like, what would it take for you to be excited for another Lattice Butte album?
Yeah.
Yeah. My personal take on this is, I was fucking surprised Lattice Butte aren't broken up.
Honestly, like, yeah.
Darling.
No matter how many fucking times you do that shit, it still gets me. Fuck you. Yeah. When I fucking interviewed Matt for my podcast, they were doing this shit all the fucking time and it still pissed me off. So, I mean, like, Lattice Butte are one of those bands where I feel like their stock has, like, really plummeted since 2011 or so. I think that if your band can't have their lyrics reblogged in Brainflower font over a picture of a forest or something, I think that's really the end of your commercial viability. But I mean, no, on a serious note,
if they can't,
if you can no longer get your lyrics reblogged in Brainflower font over a picture of a forest, you are no longer commercially viable as a scene band. I think Lattice Butte has the opposite problem of Tiny Moving Parts, where they definitely have been progressing their sound over the course of each album. But similar to what we were talking about with Pianos Become the Teeth. They do have a little bit of an issue where it seems like they painted themselves into a corner, and I'm not sure where they can go with their sound while still retaining that essential Lattice Butte feeling to them.
For sure.
Will Yip, he recorded Pianos Become the Teeth, Keep You, right? And a whole bunch of other albums.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Maybe that'll add something. I don't know. He usually just adds reverb if I'm thinking of the right person.
title fightifies bands. Yeah.
Hey, just don't talk shit about title fight, okay?
Just drench his shit in that flanger effect. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's the sign of a good producer, you know?
Just drench it in flanger.
Yeah. I have a producer.
Yeah. If your fucking band doesn't sound like Link Ray, I'm not interested.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the jumping off point.
All right. Well, we'll see you in 2018, probably Lattice Butte. Two bands we won't be seeing in 2018 because they broke up in this past week is Meet Me in Montauk and Swordfish. So rest in peace to both of those bands. They played their final shows. I believe Swordfish played their final show in like Ohio at some sort of festival. And I know that there was like a huge lineup for the Meet Me in Montauk final show that happened this week.
Yeah, tons of big names on that lineup.
Like what?
Mom Jeans.
Whoa!
Prince Daddy, I think Kississippi, and then fuck, I'm missing
Prince Daddy's
one.
Awesome.
Prince Isn't Daddy's it? Awesome. Kississippi is so great.
My friend toured. I was a touring drummer from them for a bit.
For Prince Daddy or Kississippi?
It was when they were doing that tour, actually, for Prince Daddy, I believe.
Right. Okay. Me and Montauk are just a fucking endlessly underrated band. Like, still to this day, like, now that they're broken up, I think that they might finally start to get the credit they deserve, unfortunately. That's how this shit goes. But, you know, I've like put Meet Me on Montauk on like so many fucking mixtapes for people that I have crushes on. and every time I'm like, so what did you think about that Meet Me on Montauk song? They're like, I like the Jawbreaker song. I am really bummed that they're breaking up. And as for Swordfish, I don't really think I ever got super into them. I remember there being some drama a while back where like a member was accused of abuse, and then the abuse allegations turned out to be false, and they were invited back into the band. Am I remembering that correctly? Did that happen?
I think that happened.
Yeah,
I would say like I'd put 80% sure on it.
And that was fairly recently. That was in like the last couple months, so it's very surprising that they're already breaking up. Yeah,
kind of coincidental.
Matt, continue to throw shade. Jesus,
I don't mean to. I don't mean to throw shade. I really don't. I've been writing music and been in like suburban punk bands for too long. Yes, like at every show, I'm just, you know, I'm just like, hey guys, thanks for coming. It's the last Darkle show. hey, if you're around the Joliet area, we're having our reunion show tomorrow, so come out to that. Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to throw shade.
I'm sorry, I think I interrupted Kyle.
Yeah, I was just going to say that it sucks that Swordfish are breaking out because they put out a really good album. It's underrated. I think it's called Rodea. Just got into it and then they break up. So it's basically the emo history
emo
that
tradition.
We know.
Yeah. Emo pastime.
Yeah, we've been pretty much conditioned to deal with this.
Yeah, constant disappointment.
We could consider that an emo history lesson of sorts. Yeah. If we were so inclined. I wasn't as into them as I was into Meet Me and Montauk, but I guess it's always a real bummer when bands break up when they show a lot of promise and potential. Although I do think it is definitely odd that, as I already pointed out, that after the abuse allegations happened and were rescinded, that they broke up really recently after that. There's something really weird with that timing. So I don't know.
Sorry.
You know, you have the lineup.
I have the lineup for this final show in front of me, and just want to get it right. It's Meet Me in Montauk, Mom Jeans, Just Friends, Prince Daddy, and Graduating Life. There's no Kississippi.
Ooh.
Okay.
That's pretty stacked.
Graduating Life are sick. They shouted our emo out, so we'll shout them out right back.
Where did they shout us out?
Oh, the first track of their most recent album. They in the introduction they say they shout out to the emo Reddit. So,
did they say they didn't say subreddit though?
No, they said shout out to emo Reddit, which
that's kind of vague.
Yeah. Yeah, they're probably fucking talking about Rate Me or whatever. Or our teenagers.
I never really got into Mimi Montauk or Swordfish. Can I just say, I'm not dissing Meet Me in Montauk at all. I'm just saying that I'm not a very big fan of the band name. Mainly because I've seen a lot of other bands use that same term. And that's, for people that don't know, I was really disappointed. I was really disappointed when I found out what that's from. It's like the last thing that, is it Kate Winslet?
In Eternal Sunshine, yeah.
Yeah. And so, like, you know, that movie's good. I'm not, like, throwing shade at them. You know, it's a good band name. But I just don't like how prevalent the, you know, it's kind of become like a little trope in itself, just like in the underground niche emo communities. Instance, there's this awesome band called Flight Patterns. I'm actually doing a split with, and they named their debut EP There Is No Montauk. It's on Spotify. You should check it out. Flight Patterns, There Is No Montauk.
Circus Survive has a song called Meet Me in Montauk too, I think.
right back to Anthony Green.
Yeah, I mean, the Anthony Green love will never end.
There's a Bayside song called Montauk, but that's a different Anthony. All right, I have a fluff piece here. Mike Kinsella's guitar that he played on American Football's first album was up on eBay.
Oh, what? What?
Continue.
Yeah, so this was on eBay, and it was actually taken off of eBay. I kind of copy and pasted the progress of it. He had it up there for like a few days before he said, news update, if I don't see any bids on this in the next few hours, I'm taking this guitar off the selling market forever and just dealing with the incorrectly spelled financial losses as they are. His whole fucking eBay listing is full of fucking, like, how did you type these that way? So it's off the market, but...
One thing I think is funny is that I'm looking at the same thing, and he says, like, you know, if I wanted in a financial crisis, if I wasn't in a financial crisis, it wouldn't be an auction. But, like, you know, financial, it's right there. Kind of could have copied and pasted that.
But maybe he was on his phone, and that's not that easy to copy and paste on.
But
then you have
if you ever look at fucking American football, if you ever look at American football's Twitter, like it's fairly well spelled. Like the grammar, the grammar and diction is pretty on point. So the only thing I can come up with is that Mike Kinsella was like real fucked up on oxycodone, or something. Like just
All right. Well, yeah, I should.
That's not the only thing he abuses.
Oh Jesus Christ!
Okay, so this wasn't Mike Kinsella selling his guitar. It was a guy that was in
Andrew Hawthorne.
Yeah, Andrew Hawthorne. He was in a band in that area. This guitar was actually like less than 80 miles away from me.
Oh shit! You IL?
No, I'm in WI.
Oh shit!
Yeah, this wasn't Mike Kinsella's guitar. It was Steve Lamos's guitar that Mike played on. And the listing for this guitar says that it has a special sound.
And it's a Telecaster.
Yeah.
It's a Fender Telecaster, and it has a really special sound. I mean, listen to this album called American Football if you want to know how special it really sounds.
I think that the correct pronunciation is Eric and Football.
Who's Eric?
So I thought this whole story was kind of just bizarre. I mean, it was on there and then he took it off because he couldn't part with it.
Do you think it's true though, or do you think it's like an elaborate stunt? I don't know why
he wanted like the Facebook likes or something.
Yeah, like he shouted out the Firebird band and the Geese, and you know, just hoping that he's gonna get more Facebook likes.
I mean, it could be like I don't know what else he's gonna sell to pull him out of the financial losses or whatever that he's.
Don't you mean Funchal?
It's literally that's how it's spelled, Funchal.
I know.
with a capital F in the middle of a sentence.
So like they had the effort to you know hit shift. But not the spell check.
I feel real dumb because I totally thought this was Mike Kinsella selling his guitar. I didn't even fucking click the link. As we've discussed, I rarely want anything to do with American football or American football fans.
So. What? Why? They're the best.
Didn't we literally we fucking have talked about this before, Matt?
Yeah, fuck Mike. I mean, not fuck. Don't fuck Mike Kinsella. I mean, no. Sounds cool. Mike Kinsella's cool. I'm a big Owen fan, you know, obviously. I told myself that I'm going to go to the American Football House before I go to the tourist attraction in Chicago, the Bean. So I'm going to hold myself to that.
You've never been to the Bean?
I've lived in Illinois for like 21 years and I have not.
Wow. Are you familiar with the trap producer... Young Chop?
Yes.
No.
Oh. on the Noisy Rap documentary about him, they take him to the Bean for the first time, and everyone was like a big deal because he lives in Chicago and he'd never been to the Bean because he didn't leave the project.
I should do that for my documentary.
That's what I'm getting at, actually.
Yeah. Thank you. That's such a good idea.
For your darkumentary.
Oh. Yeah. Exactly.
Only one more thing.
I'm sorry.
Okay. I would just like to shout out, there's a really good comment on the thread for this from user DJ Glovehand, who says, "This guitar will crumble to dust if you tune it to standard."
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that was really good. Shout out DJ Glovehand.
Good on you. I'll give you an upvote.
Yeah, we need to continue to shout out solid users on the sub.
Pineapple Stir Fry 666.
Yes.
Person. I love this person. Great taste in music. Solid person. They recently just posted Church Key, and that's one of my favorite bands. So they're way too underrated. And like, I'm still kind of pretty pissed off they haven't like gotten that cult clout yet.
I think they're getting there. I see a lot of people shouting out Church Key more and more, to be honest.
Well, they should. Yeah. I think I went to their second to last show. It was great.
Shout out to A.E. Himza, who, yeah, Matt and I would not be the BFFs that we are if not for A.E. Himza there.
It's true.
Real good person. A very vocal fan of my blog. So
there's a couple of things that user wanted me to say, actually.
Yeah? Okay.
Street Smart is better. Mom Jeans is as boring as grass. And Nirvana, the band, the show, is just okay.
Oh, God. Oh, now I'm last fucking... part, I take back my shout out.
The last part they didn't mean. They're just... I'm trying to get them into it.
That show's excellent. Anyone listening, Nirvana, the band, the show, is fantastic. But if you want to watch it, I believe you will have to go to the subreddit.
At least watch the new season. Episodes. They're not airing the new... Yeah, they're not airing it in the States yet.
I'm just wildly confused about what that even could be.
Oh, it's... have you ever watched Flight of the Conchords?
Yeah.
Have you ever seen the Ali G show?
I love the Ali G show. I think I have the box set.
Okay, so it's like basically a combination of those, but like with a lot of really good movie references.
Okay.
Yeah, cool. Really, really intricate writing too. Like,
yeah,
really,
it's like layered. Like, there are a lot of layers to that show. Yeah. What's the next topic?
Yeah. So I put these two on there with if you want to talk about these, since they're kind of the heavy hitters. One of those would be Lil Peep passing away, and also the strange Pine Grove
situation,
yeah. Apology sort of thing that he floated out there. But Lil Peep, I think Matt, you specifically said that you had some thoughts to share here.
Oh, most definitely. But do we want to talk about Pine Grove?
We can. I don't know if we can even just touch on it. It's just kind of strange, in my opinion.
Let's talk about Pine Grove first, actually, okay. Because I also have a lot of thoughts about Little Pete.
So yeah, like the Pine Grove thing was just basically out of the blue without any like rumblings of there being some allegations. Evan from the Pine Grove Facebook account was talking about how he detailed a scenario where he started dating someone who left someone for him, I believe it was, and then there was some like stuff that wasn't consensual that he wasn't aware of, and then he basically was like, I'm now in therapy and we're not going on that tour in December, and
and
just very much out of the blue, and a lot of people are confused as to like what he's apologizing for, since what he laid out didn't make sense to some people. And a lot of people were kind of assuming that this was him putting this out there before something got out. And then also we should mention that there's people from the scene that were saying, like, we know what you did, and very cryptic shit. So I think that's everything out there.
Lots of weird shit going on here. First of all, I think a preemptive apology is probably the best option for a band that could find themselves in this scenario. Anyone who realizes that they made a mistake and apologizes for it before they get quote unquote caught or whatever, I think that's a good step towards accountability. There are some real creepy parts of the statement that I read, like the one section about him saying he would scan the crowd and knowing that he could like sleep with someone if they were like, based on the way that they were watching him play his guitar, like that was fucking creepy. That's like explicitly predatory behavior. And I'm glad that he'd like recognized that and is working on correcting it. But like the fact that the statement's coming out, it has like real unhealthy echoes of the whole Lou Diamond situation where, you know, someone's apologizing for something. And in Lou's case, it ended up being like they were copping to a lesser crime so that they wouldn't eventually be found out for the worst things that they did. And I really truly hope that's not the case with Pinegrove, but you know, everything that's been going on with the scene has led me to be very, very, very cynical of apologies and statements like this.
Definitely. Like if you're you know, if you're gonna participate in DIY in any DIY scene, be wary of everything. Be wary of everyone and question everything. Don't let things slip through the cracks, because I think there's a good parallel. I feel like I could, yeah. So basically, there was this musician from the Isle of Misfit Toys, and basically, the singer of that band got outed. But like, when that happened, kind of just made a huge Facebook post about it, and really just tried to play the sympathy card. Said that he wasn't going to out who made the claim, then did.
Ugh, fuck that.
Yeah, so I don't know. I feel like it is really weird, and like also like with like how much detail he's gone on to, like you know, from Evan gone into like, you know, like the crowd stuff, that's really fucking, it's fucked up in my opinion. Like, that's really gross. I mean, good for him for getting help and admitting that he has problematic tendencies, and for owning up to his mistakes. Because I do agree with you, that's part of the accountability process. But what else?
Yeah, there's a feeling of like unease about it for sure, especially with the fucking tweet that Foxing made.
Yeah,
we know what you did.
That's cryptic. What the fuck? I didn't know about that.
Yeah, and I also don't fucking like bands making really cryptic statements like that. Like,
I hate how bands kind of play dumb, though. You know, like when bands are really big, or they're really big, and you know, like they're friends with other bands because of, you know, social connections. And then when shit comes out like this, they play dumb. They're like, "Oh, I knew this person for years. I had no idea this situation was going on." Really? Did you not? Like, honestly? Yeah.
Tangential to that, this actually just came out today, the whole situation with that Chase guy who manages a whole bunch of bands.
Yeah.
The thing I found most shocking in that statement was the part about Evan Wise.
Just saying, like, if you want to get anywhere in this industry, you have to shut up.
Yeah, he literally told this girl to shut up and keep quiet about the harassment she was going through, and just tough through the tour with this guy who was fucking harassing her.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, no, that's fucking disgusting, and something I did not expect from Evan Weiss, that he'd be a fucking complicit shitbag, you know, in this sort of thing. But I mean, like I don't want this podcast to just become like, who fucking abused who this week, you know? Yeah. like it's really fucking disappointing that so far both episodes that we've recorded we've had to deal with this topic.
But I feel like it is a topic that should be covered.
It is a topic that should be covered. It's just, that's what I'm saying. It's disappointing that we have to talk about this seemingly every fucking week, you know?
But also another thing I do want to note, you know, just from my personal experiences being somewhat in like the scene, I've seen a lot of people who would eventually get called out like later on, like jump on the bandwagon of, renouncing or, you know, somebody because that they just got called out, you know? I just think that's a really weird thing. And I've seen it more than once.
And I think you called it projection.
Yeah, it's basically, yeah. I feel like it's them projecting. Like I would see the guy from the Anthony Sanders Project, Island of Misfit Toys, do a lot. And I just thought when that came out, it's really just like a wolves in sheep's clothing situation. That's what I really think is fucked up about it. Like, you know, you don't know who to trust. And like, exactly. It's like, all right, who's going to be outed as an abuser this week? It's so shitty. I hate it. But like, I'm glad that, you know, it comes to light, of course. And I wish that it would like immediately. It's just a weird thing that I've noticed. And
it's a multifaceted thing to tackle. There's a lot of sources, and it's hard to figure out where to start with it. But I think forcing people in DIY to take accountability for their actions is probably the best starting point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Should we move on to Little Peep now?
Yeah, let's do it.
R.I. Peep.
Yeah. 21 years old? 20 years old?
21 years old. He's almost exactly my age, born really close to my birthday. When I found out, it hit me real fucking hard. Matt, I know you have a lot of thoughts about this if you want to share.
Yeah, Lil Peep's passing in general just really just got to me. I was introduced to Goth Boy Click through Wiccaface Springs Eternal, which if you're not familiar with that, you should check it out if you're a fan of Lil Peep. Adam from Tigerstraw, who left his project now that he left Tigerstraw for. But then I discovered Lil Peep because he was featured on one of Peep's songs off Crybaby. And, you know, Crybaby's fucking wonderful mixtape. I just, it's such a shame, you know, and the fact that what really just pissed me off the most, because I was sad, obviously, but I was like, when I found out, like when I went to social media, you know, to see the reactions, you know, it's just like, this is why you don't pop pills, kids. You know, it's like, why did they decide to start? Like, why did they like choose to bring in that topic when it was, I mean, obviously, you know, it's problematic when people like abuse prescription drugs, like those benzos. And he rapped about it a lot. I just think it's fucked up that they used his death as like
a scapegoat. Yeah.
Almost like leverage. Mm-hmm. And like, it's just sick. That was disgusting. Like I was like, I never like unfollowed so many people. Like, I don't know. Like if I saw that shit, I was just like, fuck you. Like that's cause I mean, do you know the situation of like what happened?
Yeah. The girl who sold him drugs was getting lit up on, people were saying that she knew that they were laced with fent and whatnot. Like, she didn't know, you know, like she got them from somebody else. It's a huge systemic problem. It's a problem with the system that doesn't know how to deal with addiction and mental illness. And, you know, when this happened, I posted the news on the subreddit. And I also posted a huge fucking comment. I kept going back and editing it because I just kept getting so fucking mad at all this like paternalistic bullshit and all this like fake sympathy towards drug addicts like that, because there's a lot of that, you know, like people who are, you know, they go to their Facebook and they go to their Twitter. Anthony Jeselnik has this great bit where he's like, he talks about thoughts and prayers and he's like, really, these people are saying, you know, don't forget about me today. Right. And like a lot of what I was saying was these people who were like, if you're struggling with addiction, please know you can come to me and talk at any time. Cause nobody deserves to die like that. It's like, fuck you. Like you don't fucking give a shit about junkies until fucking one of them dies, and then you go back to not giving a shit about them for like another year, you know,
like a week of sympathy is enough. I, you know, it's just so much fucking promise. Like, he was spearheading the emo trap movement, and you know, like that last, the song that you played, you know, that's probably like best song they have out right now, but that's because like I make my own shit and it's not very good. I just got a producer, and like Lil Peep was tight with all like the best producers, and he was also just he just had his own vibe, and it was consistent, and you always knew that you were going to get something good. And you know, if it was like from Peep, you knew it was going to be fucking awesome if you were into that.
He had a really strong voice. He had untouchable charisma. Like, to be honest, there are a lot of emo trap artists, and like I'd argue like Bones invented it with his single Air, you know. Lil Peep, I always felt, had the most potential to become a huge artist.
Now he is.
yeah.
Would you say that he was like the face of emo trap?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He was the most recognizable one.
Goth boy click.
God, everything about Lil Peep's death just upsets me so much. Like, you know,
the fact that he's also my age, you know, like that also hit close to home. Like, I don't know, I could personally like relate to a lot of the things that he sung about, even though that he wasn't the best lyricist, but still, like, I thoroughly enjoyed like everything that he put out, and it's just really fucking sad, you know?
Yeah.
And it's disgusting when people are either like, if you're struggling with depression or addiction issues, feel free to talk to me. And then like a week later, make a tweet about how, you know, they were offended that they saw like a homeless person in a Starbucks that they were at, and you know, calling them a fucking like worthless junkie or some shit, you know, like,
yeah, why should I give fucking money to this homeless person? They're just going to go and spend it on drugs.
Yeah.
That type of bullshit. I mean, honestly, if you're fucking homeless, what the fuck else are you going to spend money on? Like, there's nothing to do if you're homeless except get high, to be quite honest.
I mean, I've been homeless, and you know, I wasn't in that situation. I mean, yeah, I could see your point in that.
I mean, all I'm saying is, like, when you're in that situation, it's a coping mechanism, you know?
Yeah, to deal with the environment that you're in, for sure.
Yeah.
Can I ask, like, what do you think about people saying, like, how did we not see the warning signs? Like, his, like, last Instagram post involved him, like, failing to get pills into his mouth and stuff like
yeah.
that. Yeah. Do you think that's, like, a bullshit thing to say?
Well, people did see the warning signs, but it's real hard to intervene.
Yeah.
And I think a large...
somebody stop if they don't want to.
A large part of the responsibility lies on the fucking producers and managers of Peep, who literally were watching this kid struggling with addiction and mental illness, and were like, hey, instead of getting help, why don't you fucking go on tour? You know?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, tour, that's a great environment to get yourself off of drugs, right?
Oh, of course. Yeah, I've been on tour.
Like
I saw someone retweeted something. Something along the lines of like, I've been expecting this call for a year. And it's like,
Yeah, that I've been expecting it.
Obviously there, but like a lot of people probably were like, oh yeah, that's just Peep. That's Peep's style. He loves to pop Zans, you know? I bet that's probably what people initially thought when they saw that Instagram video, you know, like before that came out, or before news of his death, him passing.
It's fucking ridiculous that we have to work this hard to try and separate like an aesthetic gimmick from a problem, you know?
Right, because like when you were watching that video before he was dead, you were like, oh, that's Peep, and then now you're like, oh shit, like that's actually something that's actually fucked up. I don't know, it's kind of like, do you see the warning signs before we see the end result?
Yeah.
And he truly seemed like a good kid too. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like just a sweet person, And his mom's Instagram posts have just been fucking heartbreaking, dude. Oh, just the most emotionally brutal shit. Like, if you are like in a depressive rut and you just want to fucking feel something, go and search the Little Peep's mom's Instagram and you will sob your fucking eyes out. Like, ugh, the poor woman.
Honestly, yeah. But another person I have a lot of sympathy and my heart goes out to is Little Tracy. Because, like, before Peep's passing, you know, like, Little Tracy...
They had beef, right?
Yeah, they did. And he left Goth Boy Click. He made a tweet about it.
And, yeah, because he wasn't in Awful Things enough, the video, I believe.
Yeah. I think that... I don't know. I'm not sure if that was the reason, but that's what I've heard. I just can't imagine how he feels. Like, I don't know. I've seen videos of him, like, playing White Wine and stuff.
Yeah.
And like sobbing. Goth Boy Click wears their hearts on their fucking sleeves, and I commend them for that. They lost family. To me, I'm just a big fan.
Yeah.
I never knew him. His death certainly impacted me greatly, but I can't imagine how hard it must have hit everybody else in in Goth Boy Click or the people that knew him.
When even fucking Pete Wentz even posted something, or no, yeah, Pete Wentz and Travis Barker too posted.
Post Malone.
Yeah, I mean, fuck Post Malone, but that's a whole different conversation.
Yeah. I did see something someone posted from Goth Boy Click. I think it was, I could be wrong, it was Cold Heart, but he was like, fuck you, big ass motherfuckers, for like, you know, talking about like Peep as if you knew him. When in reality, he would have loved to have known you. And now you're just talking as if, like, you knew the guy really well or something. And I just thought that's, like, I don't know. If that's true, that's really fucked up. And that's disgusting. Yeah, I just don't know why at that time when he passed, go back to it. You know, like, it's like, oh, the warning signs were there. Don't pop pills, kids. This is what happens. Fuck you. Can't you just like get off your fucking high horse and just show some fucking sympathy
or empathize? Yeah. I hate when people use like these tragic events as like an excuse to condescend and patronize. And
yeah.
There's a parallel between like mass shootings and then like a conversation about gun control or something.
Yeah, absolutely. And just like the conversation about gun control right after a mass shooting, and like obvious, that's something that's really close to me right now, you know, since I live in Las Vegas. Like nothing's going to get done. Like
it's a moot point.
The conversation is going to be completely ineffective in regards to legislation. But
yeah.
RIP Lil Peep. He's taken way too fucking soon, man. Like fuck.
Fuck. He could have at least made it to 27. Jesus.
Join that club.
Yeah.
I saw people making memes like the day after he died. It's like, is Lil Peep Cobain? I'm just like, shut the fuck up.
Just give it at least a day. Oh, sorry. Was this
joke too soon for you?
A little bit.
Yeah, fuck you, dude. Give people like a week. Jesus.
Yeah. No, they're like, oh, yeah, fuck your emotional bullshit. Yeah, well, you know what? Fuck you, dude. You think you're so dank in your memes? Yeah, your memes, they're shit tier, okay? Get out of here. Go back to iFunny.
Why don't you go back to fucking trying to get the top comment on an iDubbbz video, you piece of shit.
I bet someone actually would be really proud of that and like go to school like, hey guys, check this out. Like, and they didn't even get it for like a solid hour. They had it like the top comment for like 30 minutes. But they screen capped it. So, like, they can show their friends. I don't know. I just think that's funny.
Well, all right.
Should we try and, like, continue to the next topic and wrap this up?
Because I know it's... We don't have any more topics. It would just be the over and under stuff. Yeah. But okay. We're at 2 hours, so...
Yeah, this has been a monster.
I'm sorry, Kyle, but also...
I think it's good. I think it's great.
I need to do this. They're going to be mad at me if I don't. Darkle has a new EP coming out. It's not funny.
You think you've earned this plug?
recorded a little bit of it today. Let's just say that maybe might be some piano in it. I don't know. I'm not going to give away too much, but we may or may not have some merchandise coming up. Can you say glow in the darkle?
Damn.
And new songs are literally fire. Yeah. Get stoked. Get ready for the pain train. It's going to hit you hard. Right, and you can just edit that in wherever you see fit, Kyle.
Okay. Does it have a name that you can put out there yet?
Yeah, it's called Pain Train.
That's what it's called. Okay.
Yeah. We have like the album art already put up. It's like really fucking metal.
Right.
Yeah. My favorite thing about the EP, like title name, whatever, is that it's the fact that our new drummer came up with it. And he's not very good at coming up with names for things, in my opinion. But he came up with Pain Train, and Pain Train was the name of a guild that I had with my friends back in high school in WoW. So I was like, yeah, I'm for it. Pain Train, all the way. So I kept this news from him. And then when I broke the news after we got the album art back, he was really upset. It was really funny. That's it.
You're my fucking favorite person, Matt.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry if I don't know this, but is Darkle releasing something on a label?
I'm not sure. I mean, we're doing a very grassroots style, like recording. Like we're recording with our friend Aaron, who recorded our first album. The first album was like super rushed. This time we're going to like work on the tone of it, actually make it sound good and polished. And then we're also working with our friend Jake to master. I hope so. I mean, that's kind of the dream, right? You get signed, go on tour, get big.
Yeah.
I go rock star. I hope so. I don't know. I think we're just going to put it out and see what happens. And, you know, just, not wait for people to come to us, because like we're gonna like send it into like different blogs and stuff like that. But I think
right. I wonder which blogs you might be sending it to.
Yeah, I don't know. We're still deciding. right now, we're just planning on putting it out ourselves. Cool. No, plan physical things aside from like tapes and CDs. You know.
Yeah. Well, at this point, this is where we kind of say, here's where you can follow us on the internet from here on out. So, yeah, is there any place people should find you and your band specifically on the internet?
Yes. I was thinking about this before we did this, and I have too many.
Oh.
so let me begin. For really rad, good emo trap, I know I'm a dozen these days, okay? We do not have a shortage on emo trap SoundCloud rappers. Okay. I'm on Bandcamp. Ooh. And SoundCloud.
Oh.
Get the best of both worlds. Space Show, amybrewspaceshow.bandcamp.com. If you're into my solo stuff, Darkle. I'm in a band called Darkle, the opposite of Sparkle. and you can find us at darkl3.bandcamp.com because in Darkle we speak leet speak, and we kind of just perpetually live as if it's 2008. So Algernon's my fucking favorite band. I can't wait to see what they do next. That's how you can like listen to our music. Darkle's on Spotify. Darkle has a Facebook, an Instagram, and a Twitter. I hate social media.
And they also have a Kickstart sponsorship, right?
We actually have denounced Kickstart.
Oh, no. Oh, I haven't been following the saga. I
hate the shit now. We refuse to get that poison into our fucking veins. It's disgusting. What I once used to love has bitten me in the butt one too many times. Let's just say that you do the do. Well, the do's been done. We're done. Not as a band, but as like trying to get a Kickstart sponsorship. So yeah, that's the update on that. We don't drink LaCroix. Just want to say that right now. That's an ongoing joke from Nick, the guitarist from Retirement Party, and Big Oatmeal. I think that's the other name of his project. Yeah, we don't. We don't drink that shit.
All right. Well, you can follow me on Twitter at You Don't Need Maps. Right. And you can follow my blog, youdontneedmaps.wordpress.com. Give me a like on Facebook. Give me a like on or give me a follow on Tumblr. I'd appreciate it greatly. And as always, you can find me on Reddit as you Sarcastosaurus, your favorite mod, your girl, Ellie.
All right. The only place you can find me is on Instagram. The handle there is Nothing Feels Gucci. Once again, you can find all of our social media accounts. There's one link that'll take you there. There's something called a link tree where it just sends you to everything you want. And that link is linktr.ee/theewordpodcast. And you can find every place that you can listen to the podcast and every place that you can follow us. So that's an easy way to do it.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, r/trees. So very convenient for me.
r/marijuana enthusiasts.
No. I don't do that. Never.
That subreddit actually is dedicated towards trees, towards foliage, flora, and fauna. Neat little Reddit Easter egg. I've been on the website for like 7 years. So I know a few of those.
Oh, 7 years, you say?
Yeah. See, it all comes right back around. upvote because it asks a discussion.
Upvote because funny. Now that's a contributing comment right there. I always love seeing that. You, sir, made me laugh. Have an upvote.
I'm on our trees right now, and the top post is a guy wearing a Christmas sweater that says Mary, and then on the bottom it says Juana.